According to a new report issued today by the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, despite growing interest in safeguarding biodiversity of livestock and poultry, 17% of breeds are at risk of extinction. The agency warns that many valuable animal breeds continue to be at risk, and it's calling for stronger efforts to use critical genetic resources sustainably in order to improve production and food security in a warmer, more crowded planet. FAO's latest report on the state of world's animal genetic resources for food and agriculture provides new data and analysis on country trends for concerned experts in the field. To explain more is Beata Scherf, Animal Production Officer with FAO in Rome. Ms. Scherf, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Why is livestock biodiversity so important?
When we talk about livestock diversity, we talk about the diversity of around 38 animal species, ranging from cattle, goats, sheep, pig, to rabbits, chicken, and so on. But we also talk about the diversity of breeds within each of these species. And to date, we are using around 8,000 breeds for food and agriculture in agricultural production. And these breeds are adapted to very different environments, production environments, and sometimes very extreme environments, and they may be also resistant to specific animal diseases. So the breeds are specially matched to the environments and also to the needs of humankind and provide humankind with very different products, the whole variety of cheeses that we know, different meats, eggs, fiber, and so on, but also of roles. So they are needed, for example, to maintain landscape.
And according to this second report on the state of world's animal genetic resources for food and agriculture, what are the main causes of genetic erosion?
There are many different threats. The problem is that these breeds, they may go extinct if they are not used in appropriate numbers. And just to give you one example, many developing countries are reporting as the biggest threat unplanned introduction of exotic breeds and exotic animals, which reduces their own well-adapted livestock breeds. These exotic animals are producing more milk and more meat and eggs and are considered more profitable. But on the other hand, they require much more inputs like better quality feed, more feed, and they may not produce regularly offspring and they may fall more often sick or even die. So it's far more risky for the livestock keeper.
Is livestock diversity more at risk in some regions rather than others? If so, why?
This is very difficult to say because there are still very big data gaps. What we can say is that there are big differences in the capacities of countries to maintain their natural resources, including their local breeds, which they developed over the last 10,000 years. The data that has been reported to FAO suggests that 17 of the breeds that we know about are at extremely known numbers now, and there is a risk of extinction. But this may be a big underestimate because for two-thirds of all these 8,000 breeds, we don't have any indication on their population size.
And since the release of the first report in 2007, has there been much improvement in how countries are dealing with their animal genetic resources?
There certainly is much higher political awareness now. Many countries reported to us that they have developed legislation targeting the better management of animal genetic resources. From the 200 countries of the world, more than 177 have now tasked a person specifically to coordinate all the activities around animal genetic resources in the country. And at more technical level, 64 countries have reported that they have established gene banks to store frozen semen of their local breeds, and 41 countries are in the process of doing so. In comparison, in 2007, only 10 countries reported that they have established such gene banks.
So what still needs to be done?
There are still enormous knowledge gaps, particularly the specific numbers of animals within each breed would be required to enable policymakers to make informed decisions, because informed decisions depend on reliable data. But a second important need would be the education of people at all levels, starting from farmers and livestock keepers in terms of animal breeding, but up to policymakers that they understand the significance of this resource for their country.
How is FAO supporting this?
In 2007, countries adopted a global plan of action for animal genetic resources as the first international policy framework. And since that time, FAO in particular provides countries with assistance in the implementation of this global framework. We develop a number of guideline documents. We provide capacity building workshops at regional level. We have a very large email-based discussion group where we regularly communicate with more than 3,000 people in the world. So these are just a few examples besides actual projects in countries.
Ms. Schiff, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.